split the praises, you mule hippiuses! Well, hey there, doggy dreamers. It's that time of the week again, kids. It's that time when all us mountain men, women, and children round up the cattle, get back home, and get ourselves some vittles and lovin'. Woo-wee! Yes, sirree. It's time for Peter Gunther's Trail Mix.
Extensions of the big note.
Hello, everybody. It's time for Davy and Goliath for the visually impaired. This is brought to you by the Evangelical Lutheran Church. They're the ones who put these out. Now, Art Kolke, in his former days, was into hallucinogenics and that's his Gumby days. But he got a little religious and got into the... He got into the Lutheran Church via his wife, I believe, who in later days developed Alzheimer's. So she forgot everything and he went back to Gumby after she died. Went back to the surreal world of Gumby and Pokey. Made a few attempts at a comeback with a film that I believe Disney funded. Dave and Goliath, this is their first one we're going to show. It's called something about an island. I think I was talking and I missed it. Stranded on an island. There it is. There's water, a reflection of a boat. Boats for rent. There's an old man coming out of his boat dock. Boy, this is kind of quiet. We gotta get the mic speaker in there closer.
Wow! Look at the light. The tide is low, and the water hardly comes up on the beach at all.
Dave is explaining to his little sister what waves do. There's a boat, and they're all looking at it.
Hey, Dad, how do they know when the tides come in and go out?
Davy didn't give him an adequate answer.
They can be measured. One of the wonderful things about the way God made the world was the way he made the tides. They're so dependable that we know to the minute when the tide goes out and when it comes in.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow! Dad?
Yes, Sally?
Did you get the boat?
It's all set.
So the families get in a boat.
On the
island. They're gonna go to an island, and I think they're gonna take a little vacation out there. And yippee, Davy and his little sister Sally are jumping in the boat. And Goliath, the dog, is looking confused, and the old man who's helping them get into the boat looks like he almost threw the mother in. That's just early crude animation.
Oh, you like the ocean.
Come on, Goliath, they say. Oh, he jumps in the boat, he barks. He doesn't talk in the, at least not yet. I don't know if he does in this episode or not. The father gets the outboard motor into the,
Have a good trip.
There's the old man with a pipe in his mouth promoting smoking. See, Lutherans don't have a problem with smoking, like some churches do. Oh, the water looks like
watch
it's made.
Watch out for pirates.
Watch out for pirates, he says. makes you wonder. It is a cartoon, after all. The water looks very fakey, like it's blue.
Hang on, it's going to be rough for a while.
Uh-oh, father's warning them. The mother, yep, there she is. She's in the boat, too. I thought maybe she didn't come along. Goliath's at the front of the boat, and there comes the island. Oh, boy. Looks like Gilligan's Island, kind of. Good effects for one of the first Davy cartoons. I think Goliath's getting seasick. Yep, he's about to vomit. That's what happens when you have a big dog with you. He's going into the corner of the boat with a ball. Crawls under one of the stools in the boat. And there they are, docking on this wonderful island paradise with lots of rocks. It almost looks like Lake Superior. And he's putting an anchor out. Davy is doing that, and Sally holds the end of the chain. It's a little bit boring so far. No adventure so far. No pirates. Davy wiping his brow. There's the mother.
This looks like a good place. Let's have our picnic. Hey, Mom, can we bury you in the sand?
Wow, the kid wants to bury his mom.
Your father would enjoy it more. What?
Gee, what a sadistic little Davy. No wonder he needed religion. Little sociopath that Davy wants to bear. There they are burying the father in the sand. It's getting creepy and exciting, folks. They are burying the father. They haven't buried his head yet. It just remains to be seen. Sally's helping. Two sadistic little children.
Come on, Sally, let's go build a sandcastle.
They're going to go build a sandcastle, and they've left their dad.
Sally, Davy.
Oh, boy. They've left the dad up to his neck in sand. They buried the dad. He had his clothes on, too, and that's kind of strange. It's going to be...
We'll build the best sandcastle in the whole
they
world.
They are oblivious to what...
somebody dig me out.
Oh, these are weird kids. That Davy always did have a mean streak in him. There's a Goliath burying a bone he found in the sand. Lots of burying in this movie. He doesn't talk yet. I don't think he talks. I think that was an idea that dawned, and then maybe Mrs. Clokey came up with the idea over dinner time when they were eating some Gumby salad or something. And now, Goliath is walking around in circles for some reason, sniffing the sand, and he's rubbing his body in the sand, much like animals do. He's shaking the sand off his tail, sniffing. No idea what he's doing, folks, so be patient with me. He's digging with his paws a big hole, and there he's looking at the bone he just buried.
Hey, Goliath, come here.
Oh, he puts a bone in his mouth, and he goes to see what Davy wants. Oh, they built a sandcastle.
They're
showing it off to the dog, and he's nodding his head. He approves. I don't know if he approves of the father being buried in the sand. He's maybe dead by now. Now, Goliath is doing more digging. He's off on his own. Kind of a ignored pet. They're watching him now. He's digging again. He's silly. Oh, a crab is coming out of the sand. A big one with a giant claw. Oh my God, he's wrestling Goliath in the sand. Goliath takes him, puts him in his mouth, and tosses him aside. This is animal cruelty. I don't think the SPCA approved this. And kids are laughing, sadistic little children that they are. Oh no. The water washed their sandcastle down.
And washed away our castle.
Oh, the tide came in.
And we'll have to build it higher up on the beach.
Smart Davy for a little wooden head. There's Goliath digging in the sand again. They're using that old trick. Ooh, he found something blue. It looks like a frisbee.
My foot.
Oh, it's his foot.
Oh, Goliath.
Why scold the dog? He just unburied you. The father scolded the dog for digging his foot out of the sand.
Hey, no fair.
It's about time the father got out. It's a very strange father to have put up with these shenanigans of these rascal children. They're playing ball now. They've got a beach ball that Sally and Davy are just throwing back and forth with little insipid smiles on their little faces. Goliath's whining.
Poor Goliath.
Now they throw the ball to Goliath, and he rolls over to where the parrots are, knocks some food out of the mother's hands, and the ball goes into the water. He gets it. He's all wet. Now the kids are eating sandwich.
Hurry up.
Boy, they look drunk.
Time to start back.
It's the end of the show almost.
Anything more to eat?
Anything more to eat?
It won't be long if he'll suffer.
Well, the mother has nice legs. She's got little culottes on. They're ready to go.
We've been having too good a time. I forgot all about the tide going out.
That's a lesson.
Now we'll have to wait till it starts back.
You have too good a time.
It always has,
Dad. Uh-oh.
And I've an idea it always will.
They're worried.
That's the way God made the tide. We can count on it.
Good lesson there, kids.
We're going to be here for a while. Goliath and I are going to explore the island.
Okay, Davy.
Just don't fall off a cliff.
Goliath.
Davy and Goliath are going to explore the island. Goliath is fetching a stick now. It's kind of a boring show, actually. I think Gumby was a little more exciting. There's a starfish.
Are you sure about the tide?
Oh, he does talk.
The water's still going on.
Let's wait and see.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know, Davy. Goliath does talk in this first show. Wonderful, wonderful.
Goliath, I didn't know you liked berries.
Who's he?
I don't. I'm finding some food.
He's finding...
They've been here for weeks.
Uh-oh.
Don't worry.
He's a pessimistic dog.
The tide will come in. Just like Mom said, when God makes something, you can depend on it.
For instance?
Well?
A dog.
If you fall, you always fall down to earth. That's because of God's law of gravity.
Law of gravity. God made that. You don't fall up. No. Oh, no. Goliath just jumped, fell up to a tree, and so did Davy. They're using their imagination with this one, kids. They're acting like they're on the moon, children. Oh, my God. Goliath's going way up into the clouds, pretending that there's no such thing as, gravity. Now they're snapping back to reality. It was all in their heads.
That, gravity's a pretty good law.
I think gravity's a very good law, too, Goliath. We here on the visually impaired show.
Plant some berries so there'll be more berry bushes for people who come later.
What a thoughtful lad.
The bushes will have dog biscuits instead of berries.
Dog biscuits.
Berries.
Goliath doesn't like berries.
Oh, no. If you plant berries, berry bushes will grow.
Now more imagination. They're trying to get Gumby eyes this way. a big tree popped up when they were talking about planting things. Goliath is
getting ready for the next time we're stranded on the island.
Oh.
I have a bone tree.
He's
a dog biscuit tree.
Don't be silly. You can't have bone trees and dog biscuit trees. You need to plant a tree.
He planted a bone tree and a dog biscuit tree. But it was all in his imagination, you see, children. It didn't really happen. He's planning for the worst case scenario.
No, there aren't any exceptions.
We're talking about pirates now.
Come on,
Goliath. We better play it safe. There's some rustling in the bushes. They're scared. They're imagining evil. Devils in the woods. Pirates or something. The tide is coming in now.
This is it.
We'll fight to the death.
Fight to the death. They imagine they're about to jump off a cliff to avoid... Sally just told them the tide is in and they can leave now. They can escape the possibility of pirates. What do you know? They put the anchor in. Father puts Sally in her cute little pink outfit she has on and her plastic hair.
I told you not to worry. You can count on God and His laws always.
David has a strong faith. He said not to worry. God will always come through in the end. And there goes Goliath jumping over some rocks. This is a long show. Sorry if it's getting a little boring, kids. But, you know, I didn't sleep much last night. And I'm a little tired. And now the dog's jumping in the boat. Everybody's in except the mother. Where's the mother? Goliath went under the stool in the boat because he knows he's going to get seasick again. And the father is shoving... Well, that's the end. It's kind of the end. End of the sunset. They left the mother on the island. My goodness. Wow. Produced by the Lutheran Church in America and Clokey Productions, makers of Gumby and Pokey and the Blockheads. Other sociopaths in Clokey's arsenal. Directed by Arthur Clokey. When he got religious, he wanted to be called Arthur, apparently. Like King Arthur, I guess. Animators, Berthlot, Clapp, Danforth, Dunison, Host, Harleen, and Kendall. They're all men. I don't see one woman animator. Artist John Groves, Jean Mainfirm, that could be a woman, Joe Roman, and Ken Shutt. There's an editor, there's voices, Richard Beals, Hal John Smith, Ginny Tyler do the voices, the music by John Seely Associates, sound by Audio Effects Company. This program is a part of the television ministry of the National Council of Churches. And there's a nice Luther seal behind all of that with the heart and the flower and the cross of the Christianity cross. Well, there you go. There you have it, children. That was the first Davy and Goliath for the visually impaired. And we hope you enjoyed that. I did, because it brings back memories. When I was a little tyke, I used to actually watch that show. Like I said, after Art Clokey's wife developed Alzheimer's, Art just regressed back into his Gumby state, and who knows, maybe he was taking hallucinogenics again. There's no way of knowing that. I met Art Clokey once at the Disney Studios, by the way. I shook his hand, and I told him I was a big fan, and he had a little Gumby... picture, a little Gumby clay thing. Well, it wasn't clay. It was a little pin on his lapel. He was very Gumby. He was really promoting Gumby back then, and that was, I guess, when they did that movie. I don't think it was a big hit. It was kind of strange. I saw it once and on a video, and the surreal stuff was better. They were trying to do a show about Gumby forming a rock band, as I recall. And didn't have much of a plot. What did we learn from this? We learned that Davy and Sally can be a little bit sadistic because they seem to take glee in burying their father up to his neck in the sand and then leaving him to make a sandcastle. The dog did speak in this one finally. I think they wanted that to be a surprise, like 3/4 into the film. We learned that the audio quality on my DVD player is either sucking or that was just such an old show. It was not coming out. So I had to really put these microphones up to there so you could hear the motor of the DVD player. We learned that even with the liberal Lutheran Church, which I believe the Evangelical Lutheran Church is, they still have a problem with women, because at the end there was a subliminal message where the family, the boy and the girl and the father and the dog, leave the mother on the island even though the tide came in. And they left her to the imaginary pirates for her demise. So we still have a lot to learn, a lot to evolve within even the liberal Lutheran churches. So anyway, like I said, I grew up with that, and I think I have some of my morals because I listened to Davy screwing up and getting reprimanded by gee, Davy, you shouldn't do that dog, Goliath. Well, let's get back to some music now on Trail Mix here on Pinecone Radio 100.9 FM, right here in beautiful Pine Mountain Club, where there are no pirates except the radio.
We're back. Mel Brewer, Insomniac Time, 2 to 6. And it's 3:30 now, which means we've reached the Progressive Trends part of our program, a segment where we talk to people who indicate what the newest trends are in progressive music. And tonight our guest is a man named Ron Fields, who comes to us tonight from London, England. He's a manager, the man who discovered Circle, and he's here tonight to tell us about a new group who he thinks is really going to make it big. Ron? Welcome to the studio. Glad to have you here at BGD.
Thanks, Mel. You're terrific. I love your show. You're fantastic. Wouldn't miss it.
Thanks, Ron. Well, the heck, let's not beat around the bush. Who are they? Tell us about them. We want to know.
I'm very excited about this group, more than I have been for years. I've been traveling around for years trying to sign good groups. This is the one. They're going right to the top. It's a missile. It's a rocket. I'm very excited. I'll tell you about it. Went to the British Isles. Excuse? Vacation. Needed rest. Lo and behold, found a group. Four men, sweaters, blonde hair, singing like birds. I went out of my nut. I fell on my bum. I couldn't believe it. They were fantastic. Signed them up, said, sing for me. They said, yes, please. They did. They're fantastic.
And what kind of stuff are they going to be doing? Are they rockers? Are they country music? Are they playing the classical rock of...
Excuse me? Wailing songs. The best. That's what they do. They sing wailing songs. No instruments. No guitar. No bass. No drums. No Moog. Nothing. Dumper. In the dumper, those instruments. Flush them down the toity.
Well, they just sing. They're a cappella, then?
A cappella. They're fantastic. Found them in the Shetland Islands. They're terrific. They're the best. Wailing songs are going to be the new trend.
The newest thing. Well, tell us a little bit about them. I mean,
No more country music. No more classical music. Forgot it. I don't remember what that was. It went out the window. I don't remember that. Hello? Sorry, no more classical music here at the station. Only wailing music will be fantastic. No more country, no more rock and roll, thank you.
What about rock opera?
Dumper, in the dumper. Flush it.
Well, tell us something about them. I mean, what are their favorite colors, or who are their biggest influences?
Mel, we're not talking colors here, we're talking influences. We're talking two people, two giants, two greats. Nina Simone, Frankie Valli. Stop, check, please, that's it. That's where they learned what they know. They're fantastic.
And they've taken all that Frank and Nina have offered and done something new with this whole wailing thing. Who do you think in particular they're going to appeal to? I mean,
everybody. A fireman, a neurosurgeon, the guy on the street, the bum on the corner, the cop on the beat, the guy with varicose veins, the guy in traction, anybody. Oh, an old lady with a walker, crying, her husband's left, goodbye, not coming back. I'm talking anybody. I'm talking a choir. I'm talking Gump Worsley. I'm talking dejected. I'm talking rejected. I'm talking no contract next year. $75,000 one year, no money the next. Well, I'm talking anyone who's interested in listening to wailing songs. Wailing songs are the best.
What is the...
I'm talking about a guy in Africa in a gumbo hut. I'm talking about a guy in the bayou. I'm talking about a guy in Florida sanding his nose.
Well, what is the name of the cut that you've got for us here in the studio today?
No name, Mel. We have no name for this. It's a fantastic group. It's fantastic. We don't have to do. No name for the group. No name for the group.
Well, perhaps we could have a contest here at BGT and let the Insomniacs out there in the audience give a name to this big group. Keep your ears open for that, Insomniacs. We'll be doing that in the next couple of weeks as soon as we get the clearance from upstairs. I'm sorry, that's how the stations run, Ron. And maybe the Insomniacs can be responsible for something very special in professional music.
Fantastic.
Well, we're going to play the cut right now, and it's going to be a very, very big hit, according to Mr. Ron Field. Ron, thanks for coming by. We'll talk after the record. Let's hear what you think. The telephone number here is 262-4200. Give us a call if you like what you hear.
Hey.
Phone board is just lit up like a Christmas tree, and it seems that everybody out there is really digging your new group, Moran. Congratulations.
Fantastic. Mel, it's always a pleasure to be on your show. You're terrific. You're the best there is.
Well, thank you very much. Insomniacs, let's all get together and give Ron a great big goodbye and a great big thank you for stopping by to Progressive Trends. Thanks,
fantastic,
Ron.
Mel. Listen, before I go, I have a little gift for you, a little envelope here.
Oh, thank you.
If you'd be so kind as to open it after I leave the studio. Just a little snowstorm in July, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you, Ron. I got to get out of the way right now, for those nutty, wacky guys from the National Lampoon are going to be in some pretty crazy things to everybody's head. So tune in tomorrow night, Insomniac Time, 2 to 6. This is Mel Brewer. I'll see you then, if you're still awake.
Make my day. Read my lips. No more new taxes. Hello there. My name's Clint Eastwood. I once was a mayor of Carmel, California. I'm in front of all of you at the Republican convention, just to warn you. Well, I'm telling you that Carmel's a lovely place, but you can only live here if you got money in the bank. I took care of that fair city. We never had an earthquake or a big fire. People tried to make my day, but I never was a liar. Carmel, California, spaghetti western style. Carmel, California. and sit a spell. Come and sit a while. But only stay if you can afford it. We got a lovely beach. Lovely weather. Lots of blue-haired people with smiles on their faces because nobody pushes us around in Carmel. If they do, I'll give them hell. Now you gotta ask yourself, do you feel lucky in Carmel? Romney Ryan, do you feel lucky?
Just before our love got lost, you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that? If you want me, I'll be in the bar. On the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada. Sketched on it twice. You're my blood, you're my holy wine. You taste so bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could drink a case of you, darling. I would still be on my feet. Oh, I would still be on my feet. I am a lonely painter. I live in a box of paint. I'm frightened by the devil, and I'm drawn to those ones that ain't afraid. I remember the time you told me love was touching souls, but surely you touched mine, 'cause part of you pours out on me in these lines from time to time. You're my blood, you're my holy wine. You taste so bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could drink a case of you, darling, and I would still be on my feet. Oh, I would still be on my feet. I met a woman, she had a mouth like yours. She knew your life, she knew your devils and your deeds. And she said, go to him, stay with him if you can, but be prepared to bleed. You're my blood, you're my holy wine. You taste so bitter and so sweet. Oh, I could drink a case of you, darling, and I would still be on my feet. Oh, I would still be on my feet.
This is the song that I played for some of you friends of mine that wanted to hear this song at the Center of the World Festival 2 weekends ago. Or was it 1 weekend? Whatever. Okay, here we go. It's called Ask Me If I Care. If I found a pirate's chest full of gold and precious jewels, find more things in which to invest, like coal and nukes and fossil fuels. If I invested in some stocks that hit the Nasdaq and all the solar plexus, I'd buy diamonds and gold and other pretty rocks that have security from the economic hexes. Am I my brother's keeper when there's so much more to be made? While the hole I dig gets deeper and the colors start to fade, do I go to the least of these? And do I even dare? Now what's this about bending my knees? Ask me if I care. If I won the lotto with a lucky number draw, I would live by a new motto. I'd live by another law. If I was no more Mr. Nice Guy, no more Mr. Careful, Mr. Caring, I'd be no more Mr. Nice Dry, no more Mr. Sharing. Am I my brother's keeper when there's so much more to be made? While the hole I dig gets deeper and the colors start to fade, do I go to the least of these? Do I even dare? What's this about bending my knees? Ask me if I care. I'd still call myself religious, maybe even still go to church, but adopt an attitude malicious with no more need for the search. In America, we're strong and we're proud. We rightfully see how we are rare. We stand apart and alone from the crowd, but take a poll. Do we really care? So that's the song I did. Two weekends ago at the gazebo. Let's play a Western song now. Come on, doggies.
As I was out walking one morning for pleasure, I spied a cowpuncher riding alone. His hat was thrown back and his spurs were jingling, and as he approached he was singing this song.
Whoopee-tie-i-o, get along, you little dokies, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoopee-tie-i-o, get along, you little dokies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home.
It's early in the spring when we round up the dogies, we mark them and brand them and bob off their tails. Round up the horses, load up the chuck wagon, then throw the dogies out on the long trail.
Whoopee-tie-i-o, get along, you little dogies.
the way down in Texas, where the Jimson weed and the sandburrs grow. We'll fill you up on prickly pear choya till you are ready for Idaho.
Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, you little dogies, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, you little dogies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home.
A little R&R. Little break from the routine. The airport tells me I'm on my way away from here and on my way to there. A day before I leave, I get a phone call. It's my sister telling me there's a crisis and my dad is soon being driven to the hospital. His legs won't work and it later becomes clear he had another stroke. Then later, when I'm there with him in the hospital, the doctor tells me and my dad it was actually two strokes, one in the small lower part of the brain, I forget the proper names for these areas, that controls your balance, and another stroke occurred somewhere in the upper frontal lobes, which can interfere with the memory and concentration. Fortunately, my dad's part of the brain that affects his speech is still unscathed, and though he is very frail and weak, we can still carry on intelligent conversations. His memory, too, is not hurt. The nurse tells us after a light lunch we need to get Dad to the convalescent home as soon as this afternoon or tomorrow. Dad says he'd like to wait a day, but the nurse says the insurance company is going to cause problems if he doesn't get out today. She then adds sadly, it's not like the old days. Sure enough, they tell me an ambulance drive can be as little as $1,000, or as much as twice that, just to drive a few blocks. So we decide on a van, an uncomfortable, rockety van for $50. Dad seems glad I'm there to help with the transition. I follow the van, and soon my dad's being lifted by two men out of his wheelchair and into a big cushion chair next to the bed in this small room at the convalescent home, which will be his for at least the next 2 weeks or so. He is asked a myriad of questions. Do you know who you are? Do you know what happened to you? Do you know what year it is? He said 12, then 1912, then no, 212. Who is here with you, my son? And what's his name? David. No. Those were the only two questions he goofed on. He laughed and corrected himself. He was nervous. The creepy questions were like, if you have a heart attack, do you want to have CPR? This means we might and probably will crack your ribs. Yes. The resuscitation questions were more difficult. If you need to be revived and kept alive by... Dad said yes. Now, Dad, I said, are you sure? I asked the nurse, that means he could be a vegetable, right? Right. Not sure he wanted to say yes to that, do you, Dad? No. Later, when I was back home, and a few days later, he told me again how he appreciated me being there and helping answer all those questions. I think that was the main reason he was glad I was there. Can't blame him. He was tired and a little confused. It was so easy for me, but I was just glad to see I helped and that the timing for this trip was meant to be, it seemed. It's been 2 weeks since I recorded a new trail mix. The trip was like being in a fog, adding all to the family crisis. I met with two women friends I knew in Spokane about 30 years prior. I did something wrong with one of them, or perhaps I was just in a fog the whole time. Thank you.
but it's hard to find no one to help you. Your friends don't have the time. Hey, hey, hey. So you ride around in your car, switch on the radio. You want to relate to something you once read in a book. What kind of a way to try to take a look? Tears you shed only in your eye. Hey, hey, hey. So you turn to any phony mouth with a tale to tell. But he's just a hoaxer, don't you know? Selling peace and religion between his jokes and his calm chewing gum. Oh, until I got hurt, I was looking, I was the same as you. Until I got hurt, until I got hurt, darling, I did not know what to do. Until I got hurt, till I got hurt, why didn't I didn't think of this. Until I got hurt, till I got hurt, baby, I didn't know what love is. Young son, don't let me down, young son. I'm trusting you to keep on, never turn away, now hold on. Come your way, 'cause till you make that final show, oh, you'll never know what love you've been missing. Missing. You say you want to see the truth, but you work alone, and no one to help you, and nobody to push you on. Drinking your wine, television on. You wait for a miracle, mm-mm. 'Cause you say one day one will come along.
Wishful thinking,
any minute now you might be gone. I'd like to help you, brother, but that would be wrong. I will do so until I got hurt. I was looking, I was on my way. Until I got hurt, until I got hurt.
The other day, my little girl climbed on my lap and looked into my eyes and said, "Daddy, what's America?" Well, you know, that's not the kind of a question you can answer immediately. But after some thought, my mind raced back to a hot August day in 1943 when I stood on the deck of an American submarine somewhere in the South China Sea. And I wondered then if I'd ever be lucky enough to set foot again on this hallowed ground that we call America. I immediately envisioned the Golden Gate Bridge, shrouded by an early morning mist, the seemingly endless wheat fields of the great Midwest, and the towering majesty of the Washington Monument. And then I welled up with tears as I recall some of the famous Americans and the great things they gave to mankind. Who could ever forget the heartbreak of psoriasis? And Dr. Scholl, who gave us the odor eaters. And what about Colonel Sanders, who lets us choose between the regular or the crispy? And Mr. Whipple, who keeps us from squeezing the Charmin? And Handy Wipes and Dentu Cream and Ring Around the Collar? And Earl Scheib, who paint any car for $39.95, including the chrome?
We've done it, brother. We've done it hand in hand. We've done it, sister. With love we've built this land. It's been 200 years of blood, sweat, and tears. Champered with love, we've made it wonderful. America, we made it wonderful. America.
Hi, Harvey. Do you want these gourmet chili beans? I gave up sweets for Lent.
Yeah, sure, I'll take them.
I recommend the piña coladas. They're excellent and very authentic tasting.
It's watermelon. That's not pretty good, though.
Wait till you try the piña coladas.
Hey, Toe, tell me something. Can you eat lentils during Lent?
Sure, I don't see why not. You can't eat meat on certain days, but lentils should be acceptable any time.
Yeah? You think there's any connection between lentils and Lent?
I don't think so, but I'll ask Sister Mary Fred at church on Sunday.
Sister Mary Fred, huh? She cute? Sounds kind of mannish, but who the hell am I to be picky?
Harvey, you're funny. She's a nun.
So what, man? And maybe she became a nun because she couldn't get a guy.
Harvey, she became a nun because she had a higher calling.
Higher calling? What a crock of shit. Man, you know, I don't even know why you bother praying anyway.
I enjoy the ritual, and I'm a very spiritual person. You know, you should try believing in something bigger than yourself. It might cheer you up.
I wanna be a cowboy sweetheart. I wanna learn to rope and to ride. I wanna ride o'er the plains and the desert, out west of the Great Divide. I wanna hear the coyote while the sun sinks deep in the west. I wanna be a cowboy sweetheart. That's a life I love the best. Hi la lo dee dee a la 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 lo dee dee a. Hi la lo o lay o lee lay o lee lo dee. Strum my guitar with the yodel-a-foo, 'cause that's the life I live. in love. Yo-lo-dee, yo-lo-dee, yo-lo-dee. I want to ride o'er the plains and the desert, out west of the Great Divide. I want to hear the coyotes howling while the sun sinks deep in the west. I want to be a cowboy sweetheart, 'cause that's a life I love the best.
To end another trail mixin. Stay tuned for Rural War Room, This American Life, Garrison Keillor, Vampire Vic, and a host of other shows coming your way right here on Pinecone Radio 100.9 Pine Mountain Club. Let's go through what we've just played. We just heard I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. And I got that from somewhere. And I don't even know who sings it, so if anybody wants to write in and tell me and correct me, let me know. Before that, we heard a clip from American Splendor. And before that, a wonderful patriotic clip that our good friend Susie the Floozy from Bob Slack Time Funhouse discovered somewhere. We got that from her show. We lifted it. I hope she doesn't mind, but at least we gave her credit. Before that, we heard Cat Stevens, now known as Yusuf Islam, with The Hurt. Before that, the reading by yours truly called The Fog. And before that, the Sons of the Pioneers, our old pals, the Sons of the Pioneers, who sing in perfect harmony almost every single time. And that was Whoopi Ti-Yi-Yo. And before that, we heard Peter Gellerud, that's me again, with Ask Me If I Care from the Cow Fest. A big move out to all you cows. Before that, we heard James Blake and his Joni Mitchell version of A Case of You. What a sad song. A sad, but poignantly, it's a very poignant. Anyway, before that, we heard Clint Eastwood. I guess that was me. Do You Feel Lucky? At the Republican Convention. And before that, Dean Elliott and his big band and Lonesome Road. And before that, something from old National Lampoon Radio Hour, which was Mel Brewer's Insomnia Times with Ron Fields, Part 1. And, of course, one of the characters with that was a very young, before Saturday Night Live, a very young Bill Murray. Playing Mel Brewer. Before that, we heard Visually Davy and Goliath for the Visually Impaired. We opened the show. So that's it, folks. It's another week. Get your pitchforks and your hay and your udder squeezers ready. Tomorrow's another milking day, another time out in the pastures with the cows. And get them out there. Let them eat the cud. Let them eat some food. And you guys take a break now and then, because you're only human. Good night.
And I thought my jokes were bad.